Welcome to Come Let Us Reason, the radio broadcast of Multimedia Apologetics, featuring science teacher and Christian apologist Dan Cody. Dan is the pastor of the Second Congregational Church in Winston. The program presents the biblical, scientific, and historic evidence which affirm the truth of Christianity. Stay tuned for how to get a copy of this program. Now come let us reason for the next few minutes with your host, science teacher, and Christian apologist, Pastor Dan Cody.
The New Testament paints a grim picture of the disciples after the crucifixion of Jesus. The charismatic leader they had followed for 3 years was crucified like a common criminal, and those who followed him were in fear for their own lives. What could have motivated the disciples to risk their lives, in many cases going to their deaths, because they would not stop proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead? I don't think that many people would deny that if Jesus rose from the dead, then he must be God. There is very strong evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. This becomes clear when we consider the actions of the apostles and Saul of Tarsus after the crucifixion of Jesus. How should we proceed to prove or disprove events which occurred in the past? Some refuse to believe that Jesus rose from the dead because it cannot be scientifically reproduced. Like all events that happened in the past, analyzing the truth of Christianity requires an evaluation of its claims using legal and historical methods. The approach to assessing events of the past relies on forensic methods as opposed to scientific methods. Things that happened in the past cannot be proven scientifically because they cannot be recreated. For instance, we cannot prove scientifically that George Washington was the first president of the United States because we cannot recreate the Revolutionary period. But we can conclude beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was the first president by evaluating the eyewitness testimonies, documents, and archaeological evidence of that time. While we cannot speak to George Washington, we would give the greatest weight to his writings and other eyewitness accounts of the events surrounding his presidency. So let's consider the eyewitness testimony about the events surrounding Jesus' death, his resurrection, and the rise of the early church. As mentioned earlier, the New Testament paints a grim picture of the apostles after the crucifixion of Jesus. The charismatic leader they had followed for 3 years had been put to an ignominious death. He was crucified like a common criminal, and those who followed him were in fear for their own lives. The Apostle John writes of that time that the disciples were gathered together behind closed doors because of their fear of the Jews. They were afraid, no doubt, that they would be next. Unexpectedly, Jesus appeared in the room where the disciples were assembled. John writes this, "So when it was evening on that first day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord." Jesus did not come to the disciples as a mere apparition. Luke indicates that Jesus challenged the disciples to touch him. He ate a piece of broiled fish in their presence. He did these things to show that he was a being of flesh and blood, and that he had truly risen from the dead. After the crucifixion of Jesus, the Jews were seeking to reassert control of the people. The young Jewish zealot, Saul of Tarsus, was unleashed to persecute the followers of Jesus. We meet Saul at the stoning of Stephen, who was a follower of Jesus. Saul looked on with approval at the death of Stephen, as Luke writes in the book of Acts, chapter 8. The early church grew rapidly in spite of persecution and hardship. Shortly after the death of Jesus on the cross, the apostles were boldly proclaiming the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, which is considered to be the day that the church was born, Peter spoke to a crowd of thousands of Jews from many nations in Jerusalem. Peter proclaimed the death and resurrection of Jesus. Luke records that on that day about 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus. Later, Peter and John were healing the sick in the temple and proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead. Shortly thereafter, Peter and John were arrested by the Jews. Peter defended his actions before the Jewish leaders, saying, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. The Jews were at a loss as to what to do. They commanded the apostles not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But the apostles continued to do it anyway. The apostles, disciples, and those who came to believe in Jesus proclaimed the truth of the resurrection, and many were killed for doing so. According to secular writings, early church writings, and the Bible, this is how some of the apostles and disciples of Jesus died. Stephen was stoned. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified. James, Jesus' brother, was martyred. Another James was cut with a sword. Thomas was pierced with a spear. Philip was crucified. Bartholomew was crucified. Andrew was crucified. Many others were burned as human torches, crucified, or ripped to shreds by wild animals under Nero. What could have caused this transformation in the demoralized apostles and disciples who had just seen their leader put to death? What could have caused a transformation so complete that the apostles and disciples of Jesus were prepared to die in order to continue proclaiming the resurrection? The only reasonable answer is that the apostles and disciples truly believed that they had seen the resurrected Christ. It really doesn't make sense that the apostles and disciples would keep on saying something that was likely to lead to their deaths unless they really believed that it was true. Likewise, consider the transformation in Jesus' brother James. Jesus was the firstborn of Mary, and James was Jesus' oldest brother. Luke's and John's Gospels tell us that Jesus' brothers at first did not believe in him. Like many others, they were skeptical. For James, something obviously happened to overcome that skepticism. In his letters, Paul indicates that the resurrected Jesus appeared to James. James became a believer in Jesus, a missionary, and the leader of the church in Jerusalem. James was ultimately put to death by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem for proclaiming the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. What can possibly account for this change in James's attitude? The only reasonable answer is that James truly believed that he had seen the resurrected Christ. Moreover, consider the transformation of Saul into the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus was the zealous and ambitious Jew we encountered at the stoning of Stephen. We encounter Saul again in the book of Acts, where he is on a crusade to wipe out believers in Jesus. Luke writes in the book of Acts, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Saul was rounding up those belonging to the way, an early name for Christianity, to bring them back to Jerusalem for trial. We learn elsewhere that Saul was an up-and-coming Jew, trained in Jerusalem by a leading rabbi. While Saul was on the road going to Damascus, Syria, he had a life-changing experience. According to the book of Acts, Saul encountered the resurrected Jesus. Saul would later become the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian evangelist of all time. Paul confirms in his own writings that the resurrected Jesus appeared to him. After this life-changing event, Paul recounts the persecution he endured to continue proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all of the churches." Paul suffered throughout his life because he refused to stop proclaiming the truth of the resurrection. That put him at odds with the Jews and the Romans who did not understand or believe Christianity. In the end, he was beheaded during Nero's persecution of Christians. What could account for Paul's willingness to continually risk death and bring suffering upon himself in order to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus? The only reasonable answer is that Paul truly believed that he had seen the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus. So let's summarize. Why would the apostles and disciples be willing to die proclaiming the truth of the resurrection? Why would Jesus' skeptical half-brother become the leader of the church in Jerusalem and ultimately die for his beliefs? Why would Saul of Tarsus change from chief persecutor of the church to its chief evangelist? The Apostle Paul, traveling tens of thousands of miles, suffering beatings, whipping, stoning, shipwreck, and near drowning. None of Jesus' followers gained anything but persecution for their deeds. The New Testament is clear that Jesus' followers were not rich in worldly possessions. The only answer that makes sense is that all of these individuals truly believed that they had encountered the resurrected Christ. Who would risk their life to die for a lie? There was certainly no fame or fortune to be had in proclaiming the resurrection, only persecution and death. The events of the first century cannot be easily explained away. Peter, John, Matthew, Paul, and James, and the other apostles and disciples believed they had seen the resurrected Christ and went to their deaths proclaiming it. Jesus' followers believed in the resurrection, and their actions proved it. This is the best explanation for the change seen in the apostles and disciples. In rising from the dead, Jesus proved to be the Son of God, as he claimed to be. The Son of God calls us to repent and believe, for there is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved.
Thanks for listening to Come Let Us Reason, the radio broadcast of Multimedia Apologetics with science teacher and apologist Dan Cody. Dan is the pastor of the Second Congregational Church in Winston. For an audio file of this broadcast and a book that defends the truth of Christianity, visit our website at multimediaapologetics.com. This program remains on the air through the prayers and support of our listeners. To support the program, you may donate on our secure website at multimediaapologetics.com. That's multimediaapologetics.com. If you have any comments or questions, email us at CLUR for Come Let Us Reason, CLURtoday@gmail.com. We look forward to receiving your comments and questions. The address again, CLURtoday@gmail.com. And join Pastor Dan Cody next week for another broadcast of Come Let Us Reason on Life Changing Radio.